Broadcast from Hollywood, we bring you one of America's favorite programs, Theater of Romance. Today, Theater of Romance brings you Robert Reif's touching love story, Vigil for Chris, the story of a young newspaper man and the girl who changed his life. So now, to portray the roles of Chris and Steve, may we introduce two of radio's finest young actors, Gene Bates and Larry Dobkin.
Another scotch, Steve?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Not doing much business tonight, Eddie.
Cold weather.
Yeah.
Didn't keep you away, though.
Nope.
You know, Steve, I don't get you writers at all.
What do you mean?
Oh, I don't know. You come in here almost every night.
Well, is that bad?
Oh, for me, it's good. Then you go home and sit up the rest of the night writing a column of yours?
So?
So, what kind of a life is that? What does it get you?
You know, that's a good question, Eddie. That's a very good question.
Well, what has it gotten you?
Oh, I don't know. Some friends, few enemies, maybe.
And all?
A little tolerance and understanding, I hope.
So, for that, you beat your brains out every night?
Pretty silly, huh? Except I guess that's about it, Eddie. Except for the memories, of course.
Memories? Of what?
Oh, a lot of different things, Eddie. Little things, like... Or like two old men in the park on a sunny morning predicting the end of the world. Or like the way the city looks at dawn, clean and rested. Or like a little kid pressing his nose against a candy shop window. Silly, isn't it? Carrying stuff like that around in your head?
Maybe. That tune, Steve, I've heard you playing it around here before. Is that one of the memories?
Yeah, that's one of the memories.
Oh? Huh?
There's a girl around town used to play that tune a lot.
A girl?
Christina.
Christina? Oh, yeah, I remember. She used to be at the Savoy Terrace. Let's see, that must have been almost...
A year and a half ago.
Well, yeah. Well, how'd you...
Oh. Yeah, another memory, Eddie. One night I decided to go over to the Savoy Terrace. I wanted to find out why she was packing them in and maybe write a column about her.
Steve?
I wrote the column. It was a good story, too. Almost as good as the one I didn't write about her.
Look, I didn't realize. I mean, well, you know, sometimes it's a little hard to bring memories like that back.
Not this one, Eddie. This memory has never been away. Christina had already started play when I got to the Savoy Terrace, and as the head waiter led me to my table near the piano, I noticed how quiet the place was. Everybody was listening. Then I sat down and I looked at Christina. She had on a simple white gown that accented her tan, honey-colored hair, gray eyes set far apart, and a mouth that... It was quite a mouth. Playing was clean and right, but there was more than that. Somehow I couldn't quite put my finger on it, so I quit trying. I just leaned back, watched her, and listened to her. And as I did, a strange thing happened to me. I felt suddenly relaxed, at peace, as if I'd been wandering around for a long time, and now I'd finally come home. Guess I'd been sitting there staring into space for several minutes before I realized the music had stopped. I looked up. She was standing beside my table.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
You're Mr. Turner?
Yeah, would you please sit down?
Oh, thank you. They said you wanted to interview me.
Yes, Miss...
Christina will do.
Christina? I write a newspaper column.
I know, I've read some of them, and I like them.
Well, thank you.
You're honest. You write with your heart.
About the interview.
Oh, of course. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I had a bunch of stock questions already to ask you, and they suddenly don't seem very important.
Oh?
Yeah. Look, I've been sitting here trying to figure out what there is about you and the way you play.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Take me, for instance. Do you know what I got to thinking about as I sat listening to you? Steve Turner, age 18. And his first steady girl.
Yes.
That happens to other people?
I hope so. I try hard.
Why?
Oh, maybe because sometimes the things that happen to people aren't very pleasant. And if once in a while they can remember the good things and feel at peace again, why, I think that's fine. And if listening to me helps them a little, that's good to know.
Christina...
Oh, I guess you caught me with my guard down. I'm afraid what I just said would sound pretty silly in print. Maybe we'd better stick to those stock questions of yours, huh?
No, I'm not so sure.
I've got to go now. There's someone waiting for me.
Well, look,
good night,
maybe...
Mr. Turner.
She walked quickly away from my table. Over near the entrance, a tall, good-looking man was standing. She went over to him, and they walked out together. Well, I guess I should have known someone like Christina wouldn't like for boyfriends. I went home and wrote that column about her. Stayed up most of the night doing it. And when I finished, I slipped a copy in an envelope and mailed it to her. I wasn't sure why. Then I tried to sleep, but I couldn't. I kept thinking about her. How she looked, talked, how she played. Finally, a few cigarettes later, I went over to the window and looked out. Dawn was starting to take over in that sleeping city below me. And suddenly I found myself wondering if somewhere Christina was looking out of the window, too. Well, about then I decided I'd better get a hold of myself. I closed the window and went to bed. Next night, I sat around making a list of all the friends I was going to call on, and I almost convinced myself for a while, too. But then around 9 o'clock, I tore up the list, and I went back to the Savoy Terrace. Hello again.
Thanks.
For what?
That story you wrote.
Oh.
You know, the things I said last night, I thought they'd look silly in print. But the way you wrote them, they didn't. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Would you care for a drink, Christina?
Chris.
Chris.
No, thanks. I'm afraid I can only stay a moment.
Oh. Gonna leave me in a hurry again, huh?
Yes. Well, tell me what you've been doing since I saw you last.
Hasn't been very long, has it? Not much of anything.
Whom are you interviewing tonight?
Tonight? Nobody.
You know something, Steve?
Hmm?
All evening long, sitting at the piano, crazy little thought was chasing around in my mind. I kept wondering if you'd come back. All the while telling myself how silly it was. And then you walked in.
Yeah, well, Chris...
I'm glad you came tonight, Steve.
Look, Chris... I'm not sure what's happening, or even if anything is. But, I'd like to see you.
We'll see, Steve. I've got to go now, but call me. Please call me.
And like the night before, she hurried away, and also like the night before, the tall, good-looking man was waiting for her, and they walked out together. I didn't quite understand it. Apparently, he was a regular thing in her life, and yet she seemed genuinely glad to see me. But even if I didn't understand that, there was one thing clear. I wanted to see Chris, and I did. I called her the next day, and we had lunch together, and also the day after that. Pretty soon, we were spending most of our free time together. I realized I'd never known a girl quite like Chris. She was a curious mixture. Kind and gentle, and yet with a proud, fierce independence. Most of the time, she seemed quietly happy, and yet every now and then I'd find her staring into space with a great sadness in her eyes. So during the next 2 weeks, we drifted along, getting closer all the time to something that hadn't happened to me for a long time, or maybe never had. And then one night, we arrived. It was Chris's night off, and we had dinner at her apartment. Yeah, she could even cook. After dinner, I stood beside the piano, listening. Finally, she looked up at me.
That's an awful faraway look.
That's awful nice playing. I don't know. It always seems so restful just to be here listening to you play.
You know something? You have the same effect on me. You and my mountains.
Hmm?
Oh, there's a little place called Alpine way up the mountains. When I'm up there, I feel the way I do when I'm with you. Isn't that good?
It doesn't sound bad. Play the other one, huh?
Oh, long ago.
Uh-huh.
The playing still make you think of Steve Turner, age 18, and his first steady girl?
Uh-huh. Only you know something?
What?
Now, for some strange reason, that first steady girl looks a lot like you.
Oh, Steve.
Chris.
Oh, darling. I guess we've been heading for this for a long time.
I know.
That's funny. The first night you came in, darling, to interview me, I recognized you. I'd never seen you before in my life, but I recognized you. Isn't that crazy?
No, because it was that way with me, too. I think we're very right for each other, Chris.
I know we are, Steve. I mean, we could have been...
Chris? Chris, honey, what's the matter? You're crying.
Steve, please leave.
Leave? Chris!
Oh, darling, don't you see it? It can never be. It can never be.
We will return to Romance in just a moment.
We have, together, ample capacity in freedom to defend freedom. This is NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. NATO is a defensive alliance to combat possible aggression. NATO is a framework within which the 15 member nations can cooperate in many varied ways to safeguard the freedom, common heritage, and civilization of their peoples. The United States of America is a part of NATO. You should be aware of and alert to the objectives and programs of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
I guess I was pretty confused and unhappy that night, and I felt the same way the next morning. Then about 10 o'clock, Chris phoned.
Steve, I'm sorry about last night.
I am too, Chris. I still don't know what's the matter.
I think we've been seeing a little too much of each other lately, Steve.
Oh?
Maybe it would be better for both of us if we sort of...
Look, Chris. Let's have lunch together today and straighten things out.
Today? Well, I don't think so, thanks. I'm sort of tired, Steve. I think I'll just stay here in my apartment.
I see.
But I'll be seeing you, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll be seeing you. Sat there in my apartment the rest of the morning trying to work. Don't ask me what I wrote. Then just before noon, I had a brilliant idea. I remembered a book Chris had wanted to read, so I grabbed it up and then went out and bought some flowers and some candy. Yeah, the whole works. Then I headed for Chris's apartment. I got there just in time. In time to see Chris leaving in a new Nash Rambler with that tall, good-looking boyfriend. I guess I shouldn't have needed any more answers after that, but I'm stubborn and I wanted that final one. That night I was waiting for Chris when she finished work at the Savoy Terrace. Hello, Chris.
Oh, Steve.
Hello.
Look, come on, get in the car, will you? Let's go for a ride and we'll talk.
Steve, it's pretty late.
I think we should talk.
All right, Steve.
We drove out to a point overlooking the ocean. We were both halfway through our second cigarette before anyone said anything.
Steve, this is all my fault.
What is?
Things should never have gotten as far along between us as they did. I guess I just didn't realize until it was too late.
Well, why shouldn't they have, Chris? You mean because there's someone else in the picture?
Hmm?
That tall fellow I've seen you with?
What about him?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I see.
Steve, I guess there's nothing for me to say.
I don't get it, Chris. I can't believe that you were just sort of kidding around with me.
No, I just wasn't kidding around with you.
Well, then why? I mean, if
you
weren't...
Steve, it just doesn't do any good to talk about it.
Maybe not, except I'm pretty funny about some things, Chris. Maybe it's just stubbornness, but when there's something I can't understand, something that seems awful wrong to me, then I want to talk about it and keep talking about it until I do understand.
You're making it pretty hard for me, Steve.
Well, you think you've made it easy for me? If you really do care, I should think you could
at least... If I really care. If. Why do you think this is tearing me to pieces? Because I do care. So very much because I love you.
Chris! Oh,
I shouldn't have said
that. But you did. You did, Chris. That's the important part, and I know you meant it. Look, meet me at Carter's tomorrow morning.
Carter's?
You know, the jewelry store. It's sort of customary, isn't it?
Oh, Steve, no, I can't. I mean, I want to, but... I'm confused.
Darling, I'm confused, too. About a lot of things. But not about us. About us, I'm sure. I love you, you love me. It's as simple as that. Let it be as simple for you, too. Meet me tomorrow morning.
All right, Steve. All right.
I lay awake a long time that night, making plans. You know the kind. Guess I was right in the middle of deciding between a Cape Cod cottage and a ranch house when I drifted off to sleep. Then the next day came. The day that was going to be a red-letter day in my life. Well, it was a red-letter day, all right. 9:45, I was waiting in front of Carter's, hoping Chris would be early. At 10:30, I was still waiting for him. And I began to worry. Finally, I telephoned her apartment. There was no answer. I was really worried then, so I jumped in my car and drove over. On the way, a sickening little thought kept creeping into my brain, and I kept throwing it back out. Then I was climbing the stairs and walking down the hall to her door. It was ajar, so I pushed it the rest of the way open. Caught the delicate odor of platine in the room, reminding me of Chris. And then that sickening thought came rushing back, and this time it stuck there. Because it didn't take much of a look around to tell me that Chris had gone for good. I went back down the stairs to the manager's apartment.
She checked out first thing this morning. Left in quite a hurry, too. I told her I couldn't refund the rest of the month's rent on such short notice, but she didn't seem to care.
How about a forwarding address?
Didn't leave any.
None at all?
Nope, none at all.
I had the final answer I'd been looking for now, but I couldn't believe it. I went back to my place and spent most of the day sitting there, staring at the telephone, remembering all the times I wanted it to ring, and it... Now I wanted it, but it didn't. Hours later, I was able to get it through my head that she wasn't going to call again, ever. I went back to writing stories, full time. I'd write, I'd eat, I'd sleep a little, and I'd write some more. But I couldn't get Chris out of my mind. I kept wondering where she could have gone, where? And then one night, almost a month after she'd left, it hit me. Once at her apartment, she told me about a place in the mountains that she liked a lot. Now, what was the name of it? Alpine, yeah. I got on a map and opened it up. Alpine, a tiny dot about 300 miles from the city. Early the next morning, I pulled into Alpine. It was a little mountain village, cold and clean. I drove down the street and noticed a gas station and pulled into it.
Morning! Yes, sir, monsieur?
I'd like a little information.
Sure.
You ever hear of a girl named Christina, plays the piano?
Christina? Sure.
What?
Sure thing. Known her for years.
You wouldn't happen to know if she's around here anywhere now, would you?
Well, sure.
Where?
There's her place up there. Take a look.
I looked. Perched up on the side of the mountain was a little Swiss chalet. I drove up a winding road as far as it went and then parked my car and I started up that path toward the door. And then I heard it. The piano. The tune. Playing sounded tired and forced. I stood in front of the door a minute listening and then I pulled the door open. Across the room was a baby grand piano and behind it, facing me, was Chris.
Steve.
Hello, Chris.
Oh, Steve, why did you come here?
I don't know exactly.
You shouldn't have.
Maybe not. Maybe I just wanted to see you, Chris, and ask how you could have done what you did.
I'm sorry, Steve. I should never have let things go as far as they did.
Oh, but Chris, darling...
Steve, please go. Now. Now.
She was staring over my shoulder out the window. I turned and looked out. There, coming up the path from the road, was the tall boyfriend.
Please go.
I guess that answers all my questions, Chris. Congratulations. You really had me fooled. So long. I went outside. Light rain was starting to fall. Halfway down the path, I passed the boyfriend. Got in my car and drove back down to the village. One store, one gas station, one bar. This time I tried the bar. I was about to order a second when somebody slid onto the stool beside me. The boyfriend.
Hello. I'd like to talk to you.
What about?
Christina.
Oh? Well, what am I supposed to do? Leap over the net and congratulate you?
Hmm?
No, skip it.
I don't know how much you know about all this.
It doesn't matter, does it?
Matter of fact, it does. You see, I'm Christina's doctor, and I...
You're... Oh, wait a minute. Let's have that again, huh?
I'm Christina's doctor.
Doctor? There's something wrong with her?
Very much so, I'm afraid.
Well, what is it?
We're not completely sure yet. It's a strange thing. It seems to be an increasing paralysis. It's been coming on for quite a while. Lately, it's gotten considerably worse.
Oh?
That's why she decided to come up here.
I see.
I'm telling you this because from what I can gather, she's pretty deeply attached to you. Whatever happened up there a few minutes ago made her pretty miserable.
Yeah, I guess it must have. What are the chances?
Of complete recovery?
Oh.
Well, it's a little hard to say right now. We're shortly going to take her to a place where she'll get the best of care and treatment, where they specialize in that sort of thing. And we'll continue to do everything we possibly can. Yes, I'd say there's a chance, all right?
Look, Doctor, if you'll excuse me...
Sure.
Oh, and thanks, Doctor, very much. I drove back up that winding road, walked up the path to the cabin. Chris was still sitting behind the piano, her head in her arms. And as I walked around the piano, I noticed something that I hadn't seen before. She was sitting in a wheelchair. Chris.
Steve.
I didn't know, Chris. I didn't know.
No?
Your doctor, he just told me.
He shouldn't have done that.
Yes, he should. Chris, why didn't you tell me a long time ago? Why didn't you?
What do you say to someone? I'm getting sicker by the day. Won't you please love me a little more?
Oh, you know it wouldn't have been like that.
I know. But I just couldn't. At first, I didn't realize what was happening to us, I guess. And then when I did realize it, it was too late. Oh, there were a lot of other mixed-up reasons, too. Before I was really sure of your love, I couldn't stand the thought of any pity creeping into it.
There wouldn't have been any. Chris, I think it was wrong, very wrong, not to tell me. Doesn't matter now, though, because that's all past. All we have to think about now is the future. our future together.
No, Steve.
What?
Not together, not now.
But, Chris...
Yes, darling, the way I am right
that
now...
That doesn't matter. Look, Chris, what does matter is that we'd be together helping each other.
I'm afraid I couldn't be much help to anyone right now.
Oh, Chris,
Steve,
darling...
Pretty soon I'm going to another place to stay, a place where I'll get the best care there is, where they'll help me fight this thing.
But don't you see, darling, I want to be with you, always. That's what I want. How you are now, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
It's got to be this way, Steve, my way. It's what I want. Oh, please. Please let me have it. Please.
Chris. Well... Okay. What you want, I guess that's what I want, too.
Oh, darling, thank you.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Not to try and find me. To live your life in whatever direction it takes you. And not to let the thought of me hold you.
That's going to be a sort of a hard thing to do, Chris.
I know, my darling, I know. Well, I have an awful lot to live for. Because you've given me something I never had before. And so, deep inside, I feel that things will work out. And, Steve, if I... When I finally put all this behind me... Why, then, I'll come back, darling. I'll come back to you.
Well, that was almost a year ago. I haven't seen Chris since. I haven't heard from her. So I write my stories, and I wander around town. And when Eddie of Eddie's Bar asks me why I play that tune, I tell him it's a nice tune. And when my friends ask me why I don't get married, I tell them I'm a career boy. Once in a while, I'll think I see her on the street, and then when I get up close... It's never she. But I go on looking and thinking about her and waiting. Because, you know, I sort of think that someday I'll see Chris again.
Theater of Romance, under the direction of Norman McDonald, has brought you Vigil for Chris by Robert Reif. Co-starred in today's performance were Gene Bates and Larry Dobkin, and featured in the supporting cast were Ralph Moody, Jack Crucian, and David Ellis. The special music for Theater of Romance was by Eddie Dunstetter.
Romance has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.